Welcome to Gardening Talkback on 2NURFM. Greg Richard joined, as per usual, by Judy Sharp. Great to see you back, Judy.
Thank you, Greg. Good to be back. Am I turned on now?
Yes, I keep forgetting every week now. We're right into the thick of spring at the moment, Judy, and I've got a few things you want to talk about?
Oh, definitely. But what about the weather? I was listening to Mark on the way here today, and thank goodness he said we're getting rain on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday at this stage.
Yeah, well, it's very, very dry. I had a look at my garden this morning and the poor roses that have been pruned, they're all drooping over, sadly. But I'll give them a drink when I get home.
I'll be crying out for rain by Thursday.
Oh, they will be. Oh, no, I'll do it today.
As long as it doesn't rain on Saturday. What do you want to talk about today, Judy?
Okay, fertilising in general, Moreas, natives, potted plants, mangoes, and we're going to talk about what to do with the lawns.
Oh, right. Well, I think my front lawn is just bindies at the moment. Should have sprayed it, but no. It's the front lawn. I don't care about the front lawn. That's fine.
Oh, Greg, but it only spreads the bindies everywhere.
That's probably why the front lawn's entirely full of bindies. Of course, if you've got any questions for Judy Sharp, you can give us a call. And we've got Jeff from New Lambton Heights, and we'll just talk about grass, Judy, and Jeff's got a bit of an issue with grass as well.
Hello, Jeff. What can I help you with?
Morning, Judy. I heard you say that you were going to talk about lawns today, so I thought, I'm going to ring up.
Good man.
We're in a clay area, heavily clay. I can't even get a fork into the grass to actually aerate it. That's how bad it is. Do these clay breakers that you buy at nurseries in bags, do they actually work? Are they worth using, or is there something else I should be doing?
Oh, Jeff, you can get a liquid clay breaker.
Right, okay.
Yeah, which might be easier to apply. I'd be going for that, I think.
Is it an ongoing process with them, or?
Oh, look, you generally find that I lived at New Lambton Heights once, so I got sidetracked then, but I remember we planted a tree out the front not far from the hospital and it wasn't built then. And changed everything, didn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, didn't it, Jeff?
Anyway, I shouldn't get sidetracked. So that tree kept dying all the time and we ascertained it was the clay. And a lot of it's pushed there when they do subdivisions, of course. So we applied the liquid clay breaker and we only used it once and that tree flourished.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, we have a drama because, we've got to try and keep it as lush as possible. But when we do get a heavy downpour of rain, it's so flat where it is, the water just lays there. The grass eventually dies off again. So it's a vicious cycle. Liquid clay break is the way to go, eh?
Definitely. I think that's the easier way to go. That's how I've gone, Jeff.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Let us know how it goes. I'd hate to see you breaking your back on putting that other one in.
Oh, I nearly broke my ankle yesterday trying to put the fork in the ground.
Oh, it's bad. That's bad.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye.
Thanks, Jeff. It's Gardening Talkback on 2NURFM. And Judy, we just touched a little bit on lawns, but you want to talk a little bit more about that today?
Yes, definitely, Greg. Look, of course, they're starting to grow, aren't they?
Yeah, well, yes.
And I always...
All sorts are.
Yep. And I always say when they start to grow, it's time to fertilise.
Mm-hmm.
So it is time to fertilise, and our previous caller, Jeff, well, he was having problems, of course, with clay, and, it won't hurt to spread even a bit of dolomite around at the moment, or actually on the lawns a bit of lime.
Okay. Why lime?
Well, lime breaks everything down, and it sweetens the soil up, And, the lawns have been suffering probably this winter, but definitely time to fertilise. And, of course, the secret is that you need to water it in, don't you?
Well, yes.
Yes, you knew that, Greg. Yes. You knew that, darling, yeah. So, we're going to fertilise the lawns and make sure they get plenty of water after you do so, if we don't get that rain on Thursday.
Well, hopefully we do. But you probably should start watering still anyway, shouldn't you?
Definitely. Definitely. You've got to water the fertiliser in, yep.
Right. All right, we've got Kayleen from Greta, and she's got a question about a veggie patch.
Hello, Kayleen.
Hi, how are you going, Judy?
Very well. And yourself?
Oh, not too bad.
Excellent.
I was just wondering, I have a veggie patch that I haven't used for probably the last 2 years because life got in the road. Anyway, I just started to dig it up again yesterday and pull out all the weeds and everything, and the soil in it is absolutely terrible. It's got no body in it at all. It sort of doesn't hold. I put a bit of water on it and it just sort of kind of runs off it. So is there something I can mix in there to give it a bit of life and nutrition and
anything else? Yeah, sure, Kayleen. Now tell me, have you applied cow manure?
I haven't done anything as of yet.
Okay.
I've just started to dig it up, yep.
Right, okay. So a lot of cow manure and dig it in. And then, you know, a few days later, use an all-purpose fertiliser that's suitable for vegetables, dig that in too and leave it a week. And I think you'll find that the soil really will improve. If it doesn't, well then, down the track, we'll add a little bit of dolomite. But the cow manure is excellent for the kind of veggies you grow in the summer.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah, yeah, so definitely the cow manure and water it in and then dig it in, sorry, and then apply your all-purpose fertiliser a few days later, dig that in and wait a week to plant.
Okay, so that will help give it some body. So
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's just like it's nothing, the water. It just doesn't even look like soil.
Gosh. Have you ever grown anything there before, Kayleen?
Yeah, I have, yeah, but it's been a couple of years since it's actually been used because life just got really busy and it all got neglected. So
Time to build the soil up again and, you know, give it some tender, loving care.
Yeah, okay. So what sort of cow manure, like just bagged manure or is there something special with cow manure?
No, look, I always think you need the treated one. Otherwise you get all the weeds and everything that the cows have let go, don't you? So,
oh, yeah, we don't want them. I have enough weeds in there as it is.
So, no, get the bag, the processed cow manure that's been treated and apply that. But, you know,
is there any one that's better than another or are they all pretty similar? Or?
No, as long as they've been sterilised and, you know, they aren't full of weeds, that's, you find most ones that are bagged have been, you know, treated and are always pretty good.
Yeah, okay then, no worries. I'll give it a go and hopefully I'll have some nice fresh veggies for this summer.
Yeah, but Kayleen, don't hold back on how much cow you put in. You know, don't be too frugal on it. Make sure you give it plenty. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's a reasonable size garden, so I'll probably need quite a few bags.
Yeah, you probably are, unless you could probably buy bulk, I suppose.
Yeah, but would it be treated if it was by bulk?
Well, I can't vouch for that, no, but I can vouch for the bags, so let's go with the bags.
Yeah, it'd probably be like chicken manure if you buy it in bulk.
Yes, I think so, yep.
Yeah.
We might have, we wouldn't have feathers in there, would we?
No, that'd be the only difference.
Good luck with it, Kayleen, and thank you for the call.
Okay, thanks for your help.
Bye.
Well, we've got Ian now from Warrabrook, and he's got a question about the mango tree.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Good, Ian. I was going to talk about mangoes. What's your problem?
I had a good crop last year. We had plenty of mangoes. And after that, a lot of the leaves dropped off. And this year, it's not starting to flower yet.
Right, okay. So last year, Ian, did you notice any black spotting on the leaves and on the fruit?
Not on the fruit. I sprayed it. The fruit came out, but there's like little white bugs under the leaf. They're very tiny and they seem to clump together.
Right, okay. Little white bugs. Is it like a scale?
They're under the leaf. Not like a scale, they're like a little, they're that tiny, they're very, very small. I can't tell if they've got wings or anything. They're very, what's smaller than an aphid or anything like that.
It's not mealybug, is it?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know,
right, okay, well, maybe we should spray that first, attend to that first. So maybe mix up some malathon and white oil, which you probably have.
Malathon.
Yep,
yeah.
And spray, but you're going to have to get it under the leaves, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yep. And then after that, if you had black spot last time, you might be getting anthracnose.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, that eventually, if it was on your leaves, will eventually go to the fruit. And it's deadly for mangoes. So if you do get the black spot occurring again, then you need to spray with Manco Zeb.
Oh, Manco Zeb.
Yeah, it's a fungicide, as you know. So, but let's get rid of the little creatures first. So we'll go with the Malathon and white oil.
Okay, Malathon and white oil.
Yeah.
Is that just 50-50 of those? Or?
Oh, look, I'd go lighter on the white oil because you're getting new leaves, aren't you, new growth?
Well, not much. There's only
some new shoots
coming, but not many.
Oh, sorry, what was that, Ian?
There are some new leaves coming, but not that many.
Right, okay. Well, the weather has been pretty up and down, and we're talking, as you probably listened, about the lack of rain and the lack of water. So perhaps maybe give it a good drink too as well.
Okay. Yeah. But mainly the Malathon.
It's the Malathon that's going to get the little creatures.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Okie doke.
And some mangoes there too.
Yeah, well, that's if you need it. But you can always give us a ring and follow up on that if you think you're getting the black spot.
Right, yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you for the call, Ian.
No worries.
Thank you.
Bye.
And we've got Vicky from Hamilton, and she wants the best way to know the care for buffalo grass.
Oh, hi, Vicky. Hopefully I can help you.
Oh, great. Thank you, Judy. Yes.
What's your problem with it?
It seems to be very tough and dry, and I have patches of discoloration happening. So I'm not sure what to use to make it more greener and better, I guess.
Okay, now the discoloration, is that yellowing or what's happening?
Yes, it is, Judy, yes, right. It's yellowing.
Okay, well, it sounds a bit like a fungus of some description, so I'm going to recommend you get a fungicide and water it over on those yellowing patches for starters.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that first up.
Judy, what was it, a fungicide?
A fungicide, yes.
Fungicide, yes, right, okay, yes.
Possibly Manco Zeb. If you can see some Manco Zeb around on the shelves.
Oh, okay. How is that spelled, Judy? Sorry,
Manco Zeb, M-A-N.
Yes.
Z-O-C-E-B. Yes. Manco Zeb.
Manco Zeb, yes. Right,
you're right.
Yep.
I don't think I spelt it right, but anyway, that's you've got the gifts. You've got the gifts, Vicky. Thanks for helping me out, darling.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to do the Manco Zeb. And after that, have you ever got a fork and put it through the grass, you know, like a pitchfork?
Yes, I have, yes.
Oh, you've done that? Right, yes, okay. Yes. Yeah, well, you've aerated, so it wouldn't hurt to aerate again, probably.
Okay, right, yes, aerate, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe perhaps some sea salt.
Oh, look, sea salt promotes root growth.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah, root growth. So I'm looking now for something more positive. I think you need to get a good lawn fertiliser.
Right. Any
suggestions which brand? Look, they're all pretty good if they're the packaged ones. But, you know, the secret is you've got to water them in and sure your lawn's low when you apply it. And if it's a really warm day, I'd suggest you apply it late in the afternoon so that it doesn't do any burning.
Right, okay, yes, right.
So
okay.
I'm sorry, Vicky, but you've got a lot of work to do there.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Does.
Never mind. I'll get it done, though.
Good on you.
That's
so
wonderful. Yes.
So you've written all that down, man.
You can always
ring us back anyway if you get stuck.
If I get stuck, that's right. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Judy.
You're quite welcome. Good luck with that.
Thank you, Dan. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Are you sure you spelled that correctly?
No, it's M-A-N-C-O-Z-E-B.
Lucky we're not on a spelling bee.
Manco Zeb.
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 Zeb. Zeb. With Z-E-B.
Well, this is a bit of a long shot. Speaking of bees, Rod from Valentine has got a question about the lack of bees at the moment.
Hello, Rod.
Oh, hello, Judy. Not so much an inquiry, but an observation.
Right.
A total lack of honeybees in our area. We've got native bees, but but no honeybees at all in our garden. I've got quite a few flowering shrubs, natives and things, but no bees.
Right.
I've been around at western side of the lake, Fishing Point, Rathmines over there, and there's bees over there, but here on the east side, none at all.
Okay, Rod, so have you any ideas what's causing that? You know,
well,
that
Well, there was that disease, or
of course, yes.
And I'm just wondering whether all the beehives on the eastern side of Lake Macquarie have been killed off, and none re-established on the over on the eastern side of the lake.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility, of course. But tell me, have you got lavender growing? Because they're out in flower at the moment.
Yes, we have got lavender growing.
And they're not coming.
Not a sign.
Okay.
No.
Well, I don't know what the easy answer is to. There will be beekeepers around, I know, that are probably listening to us now. And, you know, how you attract them back in, I think you're doing everything right. Yeah, it's a real problem, isn't it?
Well, it, depending on how far they travel, if they're not in the area, if there's no hives in the area, not much one can do to attract them. So we've just got to wait, I suppose, for re-establishment of hives.
Yes, because they're definitely not going to fly over from the other side of the lake, are they?
That's
unfortunately,
true. That's right.
It's a bit far. That's true.
Okay.
But you know, I think you're doing all the right things. You know, you've got the right plants growing to attract them.
Yes, we have, and the native bees are here. They're doing their job, but no honeybees.
No honeybees. Anyway. Well, I wonder if I hope that a beekeeper's listening and could give us some advice.
Yes.
Okay, Rod, stay listening and let's hope.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Could you possibly get, this is a bit stupid, just get the full beekeeper outfit on and just steal a hive and drive it to the other side?
And steal a hive?
Yeah, that can't be too hard, can it?
Well, Greg, I don't think Rod from Valentine's going to do that somehow.
Fair enough. Have you got
that feeling?
I've got a feeling most people should not do that as well.
But it's a wonderful idea you've come up with today.
I just thought of it, off the top of my head.
It's brilliant. It really is good. But thank you very much. We'll listen out and see if someone rings in us that's a beekeeper, I think.
We've got Bruce now from Cardiff Heights, and he's got a bit of a mystery one for us.
Oh, okay. What's the mystery one?
Good afternoon. Can you hear me, Judy?
Oh, of course, Bruce. You're very clear.
Thank you. I'd like to know about my avocados that have come up in my garden. When is the right time to plant them, and how deep, and what sort of soil should I look at?
Okay, so you do know that they will take a long time to fruit, don't you?
About 20 years?
Probably.
I'll be 90.
Well, I'd probably be 90 by then too. Greg's got his tongue in his cheek. I saw that, Greg. Bruce, look, you know, I don't know that there's any easy solution to this one, but tell me about your garden and I'll think about it as we're talking.
I had some lettuce in last year or the year before, and it's been overrun with the mint, and I've dug all that out, and it's come back again, and I've put product in there from my kitchen, and two avocado seeds have popped up, and they're about a foot high.
Right, okay. Look, I'd be transplanting them into the ground if you're going to do anything, and of course they will like the sun. They'd like a sheltered spot. And, you know, just use perhaps initially some good potting mix to plant them in.
So, thank you very much.
That's all right. And, you know, hopefully you get some avocados before you hit 90.
Isn't it a lovely thing? Thank you for taking my call.
That's okay, Bruce, but I'm smiling. But you do realise that the ones people buy are grafted. That's why they fruit so easily. And at our original nursery in Merriweather, we had an avocado tree that was 15 years and it never fruited.
Nah. And they grow 60 foot high.
They do, they do. So, but anyway, good luck, Bruce. Give us a ring in a few years and let us know what happened.
Thank you, Judy.
But thank you for the call. I appreciate that one. Thank you.
No problem. Bye.
Bye.
I remember ages ago I thought about doing avocado tree. And
did
Scott
you?
Scott was across where you are now.
And he laughed.
Yeah, he said, "You do it." I said, "I've done it by seed." And he just went, "We'll never see fruit." So I just basically just ripped it out when I got home. So there's no point in that.
Well, that probably was from experience, you know, at the old nursery. We used to watch this tree and watch it. It was there when we first went there. So we thought, oh, yeah, well, it's got to be old. And it sure was, but...
Never fruited.
Nah, nah.
That's a bit of a roll of the dice, isn't it?
Well, it is, but, you know, I can understand why people grow them because, to be quite frank, when you buy them, they don't really keep very long. I'm getting a bit disappointed in them, to be honest.
It's got to be a couple of days pretty much, not even that.
No, and they're off. Mm. They start to go brown, yeah. So that's probably why people are wanting to grow them, no doubt.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Time for a couple more calls. We've got Ingrid from Bolton Point. And she's got a question about her daffodils. Haven't flowered yet.
Oh, hi, Ingrid. This is not good news, is it?
No, it's not. It's very sad. It's sad, actually, because I had everything all planned, sort of like on sort of a bunch of iris, then some daffodils, iris, daffodils. Everybody that walks past is commenting on how good the irises are. So I just know in the gaps there's supposed to be daffodils, and there's none there.
You
is
mean...
why?
But their shoots came up, didn't they?
Yeah, the foliage is awesome.
Oh, the foliage is awesome. Okay, now, could I ask a very quick question? Did you allow the foliage to die down last year?
These were new bulbs.
Sorry, what was that?
They were new bulbs.
Oh, they're new bulbs.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, right, sorry. It was a little bit hard to hear. Did you fertilise at all with a bit of bulb fertiliser?
Lots of cow poo in there, lots of blood and bone, and then when I watered everything in, it was sea-sold.
Right, okay. Look, I think, the advice for next year is make sure you let that foliage die down so they create the protein, but also to next year, when they start to shoot, I would be giving them some proper bulb fertiliser.
Okay.
Okay, and good luck. Give us a ring next year.
There's nothing at all. There's just none. With new bulbs.
Well, I tell you what, Ingrid, it's a bit late for them to flower now anyway, so don't you cut off that foliage, will you?
No, they can stay there.
Yep, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but I've been asking a few other people and their daffodils haven't come up either.
Oh, yeah, but yours came up.
Only the foliage, but not
right, okay.
At all.
Look, I mean, then plenty of people did get flowers, that's for sure. So I don't know, it might be Bolton Point, maybe the soil out there. I'm sorry, that's a bit of a wild guess, but I definitely think they need to be fertilised next year.
Thank you very much, Ingrid. Quickly on to Phil now from Singleton, and he's got a question about avocado trees growing from seed.
Hello, Phil.
G'day, Judy. Just adding to the conversation about the avocado tree, growing them from seeds. My darling wife put one in 6 years ago in a pot. I just loved it, so I just dug a hole in Singleton on these ridges. It's terrible, terrible, bloody clay soil, not real good. Anyway, I dug a hole and put it in a sheltered spot. Kept it watered, and here we are 6 years later, it's got its first crop of fruit coming.
You're kidding me.
No. So I don't know what the bloody hell you did to your one in your nursery.
I tell you, Phil, we did everything. I even kicked the trunk sometimes, but it didn't work. But, Phil, now, when you described you've planted them on the hills, on the slope, haven't you?
Yes, it actually just out of a gully. We live on an acreage, Julie, and probably 5 metres out of the middle of a gully in a sheltered spot.
Right.
And it doesn't get any nor'westerly wind because I don't think they like nor'westerly wind.
No, and Phil, when you think where they're grown commercially, probably up around, you know, Alstonville way, they tend to be grown on the hillsides. So I have a friend up there that grows avocados, so I'm going to check up with him and find out how long before his fruit, because he grows them commercially. So can you listen next week, because you've given me quite a problem here.
Well, it is on the side of a gully, Judy, so yeah, it is on the side of a hill.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. I'm going to ring him. I'm sure his are all planted that way, so maybe that's a secret, but no, honestly, they do take a long time to fruit, so you better give your wife a big hug when you get off the phone.
I certainly will, and they do thrive here in the Hunter Valley. When we first moved here 20 years ago, we used to go out to Mrs. Thomas at Bulga to buy oranges off her before we got our own orange trees going, and she had an avocado tree that was the same age as her, and from memory, she was 72 at the time. So they last a long time.
Oh, they do, yes, they definitely do. They're not a happy-looking tree, though, but... Phil, I'm going to check up on this, and will you listen again next week so I might have different advice for my earlier listener?
Good on you, Judy. I always listen because, compliment coming, you are the font of all knowledge.
Oh, Phil, thank you. Well, that is really lovely of you to say that. I thought it was Greg helping me.
I tell you what, I think I've had a good day. It's the first time I've seen you bold middle stump, Julie, with that compliment.
Well, I was, Phil, because, you know, I get a lot of criticism along the way, particularly from the family members, trust me.
Good on you, Judy. Love listening to you. Bye for now.
Thank you, Phil. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Phil. We've got John now from Wall's End, and he's got a question about apricot trees.
Oh, hello, John. What can I help you with your apricot?
Hey, Judy. Damn thing's been in for, five, 6 years at least. Never had any fruit on it.
Never flowers, had any fruit, right.
It flowers, it does everything it's supposed to, doesn't even look like fruiting.
Okay, John, now I'm thinking apricot trees probably need a cross-pollinator. What kind of apricot have you put in?
Whatever it was we bought from the nursery.
Okay, rightio. So you've lost your tag, you don't know?
No, no idea.
No. Okay, John, look...
But it was a grafted.
It was a grafted one, yeah. Look, it could possibly be it might be looking for a cross-pollination.
Okay.
You know, which means you might have to plant another one. And I would imagine, looking at your address, that you would have bought that from Wall's End Nursery way back then, did you?
No, I actually bought it from the one up at Madawi.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, well, they grow it
there. The old nursery or whatever they call it.
Yeah. No. They're good fruit growers up there, so... Look, if you leave your number, I'll make some more inquiries and give you a ring off air. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
My daughter lives in Melbourne, and she's got an apricot tree in her backyard, which isn't a very big backyard. It's sort of grown in amongst a whole heap of other bushes and trees and stuff, and she gets fruit on hers every year. She gets that much fruit, you'd think she was supplying the fruit shop.
Have you checked with her, John? Maybe that's the answer. Okay, I'm going to give you a ring when I just... I'll give you a ring off air when I make some inquiries about it. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Judy.
Bye.
Bye now. Bye.
Thanks, John. I've got time for one more call. We've got Victoria from Rayworth, and she's got a question about pine cone from Lone Pine from Glibley.
Oh, that's an interesting one, Victoria.
Yes, it's a little pine cone, and I got it off. It's the original variety of pine cone that was at Gallipoli, and I'm just wondering, if I pop it in a pot, do you think I can get it to grow?
I think the pot is the answer rather than in the ground. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Well, that'll be wonderful if I can.
Yeah, and look, you might do some research on it before you plant it, but I would suggest a good potting mix, and I'm not too sure you wouldn't want it too alkaline. I think it'd be looking for acidity, but you do some research, and I'll do some research, and I'll talk to you about again next week, Victoria.
Oh, thank you very much. Would appreciate that.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Jeez, thank you, Victoria. Well, that's just about all for Gardening Talk Back for this Monday, Judy.
Oh, busy day.
Very busy day.
Some inquiries. I've got to do a bit of homework today.
Yeah, you've got a bit of homework for the next week.
Yeah, I love homework, you know.
You've got lone pine, you've got avocados.
Yeah, lone pine. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Mm. I didn't like to go into how the lady had it.
Oh, well.
We ran out of time.
Yeah, we ran out of time, so we can't talk about that. Judy Sharp, thank you very much. We'll catch you again next Monday.
And thank you always, Greg, for your help.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.